Chapter 3. Several hours had passed since Michael and his grandfather scooped their bereaved neighbor off his lawn. The man had howled himself into an exhausted stupor, leaving them to keep vigil until his sister arrived from out of town. As the two siblings reunited in tears of grief, Michael felt like an intruder. By contrast, his grandfather was enthusiastically instructing the newcomer on the care needs of the house's various pot plants. Michael intervened and dragged him to the door, offering the neighbor an awkward thanks for the tea as they left.
"Barring our abrupt departure, you did well in there," said Amal.
The old man patted Michael's shoulder and set off along the sidewalk, in the opposite direction to their house.
"Where are you going now?" groaned Michael.
"You have questions. I can see them on your face. They're better discussed out of the house. Come."
Michael flopped onto a cushioned booth at the ice cream parlor. His grandfather eased himself into the opposite side, with joints creaking like a floorboard.
"You did two good things today," said Amal.
"Two?"
"You helped your neighbor in his hour of need. And then you bought your old pop some ice cream."
Michael rolled his eyes while Amal chuckled.
"Should I come back?" said the waiter. "No, we are ready to order. I'll take the salted caramel sundae, please. Extra sauce," said Amal.
"Are you trying to bankrupt me?" said Michael.
"I can't impart valuable life lessons to you on an empty stomach," insisted his grandfather.
"What about you, young sir?" said the waiter.
"Just a scoop of vanilla, thanks," winced Michael. As the waiter left, Michael ducked his grandfather's gaze.
"Come on, boy. Out with it," urged Amal.
"When father died..."
"Was it like that?" said Amal.
Michael nodded. His grandfather gazed out of the window and smiled at the afternoon sun.
"I am surprised you haven't asked before now, although I suppose your mother didn't help things," he mused. "When your letter comes, you have a choice to make. And so do the people around you."
"What choice did father make?"
"The wrong one. I knew your dad well. He'd been with your mother for a decade. He was there for me when your grandmother passed, which is why I never understood his final actions."
The waiter returned and plonked two very different servings before them. Amal clapped his hands and shoveled a mound of ice cream into his mouth. Pain shot across his face. He slapped his jaw with agitation, laughing in discomfort.
"Oh, brain freeze," he groaned.
Michael pushed his solitary scoop around the bowl.
"Did he die badly?" said Michael.
His grandfather loaded up another brimming spoonful.
"He was always such a thoughtful man, a devoted father and husband, and a popular man in the community. He had his whole life to plan that moment, and yet..."
Amal trailed off, returning to his sundae.
"Yet what?"
said Michael, snatching his grandfather's bowl.
"You should try some. The sauce is incredible."
Michael scowled at him.
"We have avoided this conversation for 12 years. Indulge me a few more mouthfuls of ice cream. There's a good lad," said Amal.
Tutting, Michael released the bowl and watched his grandfather tuck in with childish zeal. Amal devoured the lot, then leaned back in his chair with a hand on his belly and immense satisfaction across his face. Pointedly, Michael handed him a napkin. The old man mopped the sugary carnage from his face and sighed wearily. He placed both hands on the table as if earthing himself before looking Michael in the eye.
"You only get one chance to get death right. It's a moment you've known was coming since the day you turned 18. Given a second chance, I know your father would have acted differently. But there are no second chances in life, Michael. Certainly none in death."
"I don't understand. Did he do something?" said Michael.
His eyes were wide, his heart fearful. In all these years, it had never occurred to him that what had happened might have been his father's fault. His mother had refused to talk about the topic,
hiding behind his younger sister whenever Michael raised it. Eventually, he'd stopped trying and chose to settle for the sanitized narrative his six-year-old mind had created.
Your father meant well, Michael. He meant the best, of course he did. He loved the three of you more than he could ever express. But that love led him to make choices I would never have imagined. He regretted it so bitterly. His final act was to shield you from the truth.
Amal drummed his fingers across the table, then snapped them down decisively.
But that was a long time ago. You're nearly 18, and soon you'll be walking the same path as the rest of us. How can we expect you to avoid such grave mistakes without knowing what they are? At the same time, I don't want you to stop loving your father. What he did has to be contextualized. Are you sure you're ready?
Like you said, Pops, I'm nearly an adult. Whether I'm ready or not, I need to know, quavered Michael. There it was again. That look of weary pity he'd seen in his grandfather's eyes so many times before, hiding beneath the soft, wrinkly smile.
So be it, said Amal.
The parlor door swung open and Michael's mother Val marched in with his sister in tow.
I thought we'd find you here. What are you two talking about?
Val smiled politely, but her tone was direct. She fixed Amal with a fiery glare.
We were discussing Michael's father.
The smile vanished from her face.
With all that's happened today, you think that's appropriate? She snapped.
I think it's important.
Val scanned the room, flitting between her father and the other customers. She was a woman of composure and stately dignity. It was rare that Michael saw his mother this flustered, and it made him uncomfortable.
Mom, Granddad was telling me about Dad's... I'm sure he was doing nothing of the sort. Your grandfather knows better than to disrespect his memory like that.
With blazing eyes, she took a seat and thrust a menu into her daughter's hands.
What flavors do you want, sweetie? Sophia finished all her homework, so we've come out for a treat, she explained. Did Michael finish his too, Grandpa?
Asked Sophia, eyeing up Michael's ice cream with curiosity.
No, he didn't. In fact, Michael should be getting back to it now, snapped Val.
Michael rose with a heavy sigh, accepting defeat. At least he didn't have to pay for his grandfather's ice cream now.
We'll talk later, whispered Amal.
Michael trudged home gloomily. His grieving neighbor was still curled up on the couch next door. The man's sister was making phone calls beside him, surrounded by coffee cups and beer. Michael toe-punted the gate open, adding to the scuff marks around the base. He climbed the stairs to his bedroom and flopped onto the bed, staring at the calendar opposite. 3 days to go. His throat felt dry, and his head felt light. He wasn't ready to choose his death.